commencement address at Goddard College. Join us at 11 o'clock for Between the Covers. Today we speak with Portland author Peyton Marshall about her debut novel, Good House. Marshall is a former member of the all-female punk band Third Sex. And then at 11:30, Words and Pictures welcomes the writing and illustrating team behind the comics-oriented guidebook Clusters and Your Economy, which examines collaborative communities from Renaissance Florence to California's Silicon Valley. But up next, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Anjay, right after this.
Join us for our monthly movie event, KBOO at the Clinton. This month, on October 9th, KBOO will host a screening of The U.S. vs. John Lennon, a 2006 documentary film about John Lennon and his transformation from Beatle to anti-war activist and the repression he faced because of his political activities. That's KBOO at the Clinton with The U.S. vs. John Lennon on Thursday, October 9th at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Cascadia. Today is Thursday, October 9th, 2014, and you're listening to your community radio, KBOO Portland. We're still here because you are also. Before we get into the show today, I just want to acknowledge, recognize, and thank profusely the rest of the Air Cascadia team, which today is Rock Bergeron as the intrepid engineer. Thanks, Rock. Kathleen Stevenson, the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. Thanks, Kathleen. And, of course, the two people out there in the membership room who you will be hearing from later after the show. And today it's Lynn Merlick and Will are going to be talking to you about the fun and games and overall improvement to your life that membership in KBOO means. Today we're going to speak with Meryl Nass about some of the quirks in the reporting on Ebola. Many of you may have noticed some of the inconsistencies in the reporting. Ebola issues. We are trying to reach her right now and trying to get my line here settled. Hang on. That said, we're going to move right along. Meryl Nass she writes for the Anthrax Vaccine blog. Her recent pieces include drilling down into the facts regarding airborne spread of Ebola and U.S. Ebola. Some questions there. We're also going to give you some questions to ask no less an entity than the World Bank. Oh, that is right, listeners. Yes, men are asking us all, that's you, myself, and everyone we know, to help bring down the World Bank. And all you have to do is make a few phone calls. You do that all the time. You've been doing that for a week now, helping us out, keeping this show and others like it and others very different from it on the air. So today the World Bank is a development organization that distributes money that it makes from Wall Street investments and grants from wealthy nations to less wealthy nations in order to get those loans. Of course, those less than wealthy nations have to score well on the banks. In capital letters, wait for it, doing business rankings. Oh, yes, you could be ranked according to how you do business. Scoring well usually means making the first legal and economic environments as friendly as possible. That's why they talk about the free market economies in the Middle East and why a large point of the murderous, bloodthirsty, blood-drenched endeavor that the U.S. has foisted on those nations is to establish free market economies. And here all along you thought perhaps that this was about women's rights. Well, sorry, it's actually free market economies. That's what we're given. That's what the bottom line ends up being, as to no one's great surprise. So we have numbers for you to call, and we may also have Andy Birchbaum of the Yes Men on to talk to you more about why it is such a good idea and so much fun to bring down the bank together. Perhaps in the process of the dissolution, some of that money could flow towards the United States of KBOO. Think of that. Perhaps we will be standing there when part of the tsunami rushes past. All you have to do is hold out a bucket and money will flow therein. The idea is to call some numbers today, October 9th, between 2 and 4 p.m. Eastern Time. An hour from now is time to get started. I can put those numbers up for you on our KBOO website, and you can get them right there. The general inquiries line is 202-473-1000. Don't want to confuse things by giving you a bunch of numbers when the only number that you really need to know is the KBOO membership number. That's really all this is about in the end. So as we wait for Meryl Nuss with the anthrax vaccine blog, and we wait for Andy Birchbaum with the Yes Men, just a few more notes that it is important to have a look at. Police in Gresham, we talked about this yesterday, about the gun issue of one chap who bought a gun being robbed of the gun by another man with a gun. This is, yesterday, of course, we laughed at that, but I looked around and found instances of stuff like this across the country. After a while, when these stories begin to pile up, it is no longer funny. It becomes grim, and we think about the waste of resources, of lives, of pretty much everything that a human being has going. This nation, the United States of America, is rapidly approaching the everything that one would expect to find in the profile of a third world country. Our infant mortality rates, especially amongst people of color, our completely depleted natural resources. We've not only depleted them, but we've degraded them. In other words, depletion can be restored. Things which are utterly degraded cannot. What we've done is irreversible, and it is it's no longer possible for our markets, for our system, which is not democracy, it's capitalism, to rely on limitless growth quantitatively. We're back to qualitative, and if we don't get that squared away, we're pretty much doomed. We have our own Senator Jeff Merkley versus this strange dark horse that has entered the ring, Monica Webby. Tons and tons of money. It doesn't matter what she says, what she does, what her platform is. It doesn't matter if she's even here. The money itself will speak for her. And it turns out that the USAMR IID had a bird's eye view. That's one of the institutions that's, that is with the World part of the World Health Organization and the CDC, were too bureaucratically hamstrung to even figure out the implications of this type of Ebola outbreak, which is multiplying geometrically, not arithmetically. In other words, it triples rather than doubles, and it's doing that very, very quickly. The numbers of cases are probably underreported. That's what we're going to try to talk a little bit more about today. The main biodefense center, and in the end, had no excuse that it didn't understand what was happening. Of course it did. It had to. Now the military says that they proved that Ebola had been in the area for at least 8 years, and that 9%, that's 9% of samples tested positive for Ebola. So why didn't they figure that out? That's what we want to talk about. There are a lot of inconsistencies. There are a great many problems with reporting on the Ebola virus. Our guest, Meryl Nass, we're still trying to get her on the line today, said that Thomas Eric Duncan died in spite of receiving the highest level of intensive care, including dialysis and ventilation. These are extreme measures. The CDC and much of the media have been saying that you can only get Ebola through direct contact with bodily fluids. And at the same time, they've been backing the use of extraordinary measures to prevent transmission. The fact is, there is no doubt that Ebola has a history of airborne droplet transmission. Pundits are finally beginning to admit it. There's so much stuff about Ebola that is terrifying and likely to cause panic in the population that what we don't know far eclipses at this point what we do know. In fact, the United States, that very, very long acronym is the United States Army Medical Research Institute of Infectious Diseases. That's what the long acronym stands for. Had a unit physically located near where the outbreak began. The unit's job is to test blood for the Lassa virus antibodies. They also were testing for Ebola as part of their work. And yet, nothing came of it at the time. Meryl Nass noted a few weeks ago, and then the Boston Globe says that the Boston Globe reports that the biolab okays amid hopes for tackling Ebola and safety concerns. But earlier this summer, she pointed out that there was reporting on widespread escapes from these labs. It gets more and more murky as you look further and further into it. Francis Boyle also has taken a long, hard look at it. He, of course, has been a guest on the show before. He's a professor at the University of Illinois College of Law. This is not a doctor speaking. This is a lawyer who's asking some serious questions. Why is the CDC not better prepared for this emergency after the U.S. government spent so much money on it in the first place? We really don't, in the end, know anything about it. And we might rather spend our time talking to the World Bank. I will give you the numbers. I'm going to put those numbers to call to get you to the World Bank on the KBOO website, because right now a far more important number is hovering over us, and one that everybody should pretty much know by heart right now. And if you don't, now is the time. Let's get a jump on the World Bank by calling the number, talking to our volunteers out there, Lynn Marlick and Will, ready to tell you more than the World Bank ever will tell you and more than you'll ever know about Ebola. Hi, good morning, Will.
Hello,
good morning,
Chris.
Lynn.
Hello. We will not be talking too much about Ebola, but we're going to be talking about how you can donate to this amazing radio station that is telling you.
Oh, it's a brilliant show. It is dynamite with a laser beam of information. It's incredible how much she puts in there and how much work she does. We are very, very fortunate to have Chris Andre's show on KBOO, and the reason we're financing. So please pick up the phone, dial 877-500-5266. That's 877 877-500-5266. Or a way I really like for people to do is to come in. Just come in. We're at 20 Southeast 8th. We're easy to find just off Burnside. We have some coffee available from Grendel's, and they donated that coffee because they support this terrific radio station. And you can too. You can meet some of our wonderful volunteers. And you can make this happen. My friend Sam pointed out that when there's no you in community, there's just community, and that's bloody silly. So we need you to pick up the phone, dial 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KABOO. Isn't that right, Lynn?
Absolutely. And we have so many people to thank this morning. We've got Annie and Camus, Anthony, who's renewing from Southwest Portland, Tony, renewing from Northeast, Polly from Portland, Shand. I'm going to find that name out later and thank that person. Jeffrey from Southeast, Christina and John from Southeast, and Todd from Lake Oswego. Have your name be on the list, on the good list of contributors to KBOO. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. Now is pretty much the time to do it.
It's going to be a lovely day. You can start the day out in a wonderful way. And by dialing 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KABOO.
Today on Flashpoint, Syria up in flames, Kurds protest all of Mumia Abu Jamal. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. This is your daily investigative news magazine. And we're joined by an old friend of this show, Lynn Washington. Lynn, welcome to Flashpoints.
Hi, Dennis.
Welcome. Republican Pat Toomey sent an outraged letter to the college that had been